This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
I want to say to the dude that's riding his bike or his hot rod or whatever up and down the street at 11:30 at night, revving it for no reason. You're not as cool as you think you are. Actually, it's quite the opposite. Quite the opposite, dude. Chill the fuck out. All right.
What is TWS podcast episode? Whatever. Who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. And I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rip. Right, we gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready.
I feel like the answer. Staring at my watch, and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts. How many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I must thank you, first and foremost, for taking whatever time, the little bit of time that you have to come chill with me and just, talk about some nonsense. It always has a point where I try to bring it to a point, but we'll see if I get there today. What I'm drinking tonight, I went ahead and made myself some Holy Basil iced tea. Pinkies out. I had to doctor it up. It's disgusting. But, you know, you put enough honey and lemon and stuff in it, it tastes all right. Out of all the teas that I have, I bought it not for the taste. I bought it because it's supposed to be good for, like, anxiety and shit like that. And you know, again, me and my addict personality, once I read all the stuff that it could do for you, I'm like, I need that. And if I'm going to buy it, I'm going to buy a lot. So I bought like a pound. And the bag that this thing, it came in a bag that looked like fertilizer or some shit like that. Like it's insane. I have other tea that I bought by the pound and it's never looked like this much tea. But this looks like grass clippings. Like it looks horrible. Like it looks like somebody just went out in their backyard with a shovel and like poured it in a bag. And for some reason, I brew it and drink it because I think it's doing something. But it looks horrible. It don't taste great. But I don't know. Here's the anxiety. Anyway, let's get right into it. I'm trying to up the production value for these episodes. So, got segments, got things I want to get into. I wanted to start this week off by going back to something I haven't done in a long time that I've never done as a solo thing. I only do it when I have guests. But, you know, we can do something new. We can do something different. Let's try it out. Let's do a quick game of Guess the Ethnicity. Hopefully, I got everything queued up. Let's go. It's America's most poppiest game show. This is Guess the Ethnicity. If you've never played this game before, what I do is I go out and I find a strange news story, a strange crime. I give you the headline and some details, and then I leave it to you to try to guess the ethnicity of the perpetrator. We have narrowed down, the detail that you have to go to pretty much white, non-white. If you want to get more granular than that, you're welcome to it. Nobody's going to hear your answer but you or whoever you're watching this with, so have at it. So, for tonight's headline here is Women's Alleged Glitter Attack Ends with Felony Charges. Yeah. Women's Alleged Glitter Attack Ends with Felony Charges. I don't know. I don't know if you can get anything from that, but that's the headline. Let's dig a little bit further, all right? So, basically, this happened in Florida. Two Florida women are facing felony charges over glitter. So police say they went to this man's apartment around 3 a.m. and got into an argument with him as he stood on his fenced patio. That's when there's two ladies involved in this. They started throwing containers of glitter at him. They started hitting him with, I guess, jars of glitter. I don't know. They hit him in the head and the torso. It's weird to me that he reported exactly where the glitter hit him. I don't know if I would have Anyway, then apparently one of the ladies jumped the fence, went into the apartment, continued throwing glitter. I don't know how many containers of glitter. They obviously came ready to do this. They came ready for war. They must have had mad glitter containers, whatever. Because she hopped the fence, got into the apartment, started throwing glitter at him. She then went to the front door, let her homie in, and they both was throwing glitter at him. And I don't know how long this went on for, but basically the way they were caught was, glitter, you can't clean glitter. You can't get it out of anything. Like, once you get glitter on something, it's there forever. And so the authorities were able to match the glitter, I guess, on this man's head, torso, and in his apartment to glitter they found in one of their cars. So they've been charged with felony burglary and assault. And I think the one that hopped the fence is being charged with criminal mischief for allegedly kicking a window until it broke so she can get in there. I think she would have done more damage. If she kicked the window until it broke, sounds like she would have done more damage kicking the man than she would have hitting him with glitter. But I don't know. That's a new one for me. I know women know some crazy things to do to you to get you back for stuff, or to, I don't know, revenge for an argument. What could they have been arguing about that you throw glitter at somebody? That you premeditated throw glitter at somebody? Because they had the glitter on them when they went there and got in the argument. But yeah, this is a new one to the list. I heard, we know the key in the car and slashing tires. I even heard about like putting Jolly Ranchers on the hood, because apparently you take the paint off the car when you try to remove the Jolly Rancher. Not to give y'all any ideas, but now there's glitter. So I'm going to leave y'all with that. We'll come back to it at some point in the episode and see if you're right about your guess on the ethnicity. I can't give you mine because I'm looking at it right now, so that really wouldn't work, but that was guess the ethnicity. We'll come back to it. What else is going on this week? What else should we dive into in this episode? I got to give, as usual, Sheffy Lease update, trying to up the production value and see if we get it working. There we go. It's time for the Sheffy Lease update. So not a whole lot for this week. This is my week where I don't have my daughter. So, we haven't spent any time together this weekend. But I do have a few things on my mind. I got to, this whole transition from the Washington football team to the Commanders, the thing that bothers me the most about it is that I've been a Redskins fan my whole life. Like, that's my team. Them changing the name or whatever is not going to pull me away from that team. I'm not one of these people that's like they got to take the established 1932 off because it's a brand new team. They was established in 2022, whatever. It's dumb to me, if you ask me. It's the organization hasn't changed. And I'm a fan of the team. I'm a ride with them. But I've never been the kind of fan to, like, buy jerseys and stuff like that. Like, I'm cheap. My mother raised me that way. She raised me to, like, not. There's a dollar amount I can't go over when it comes to certain things. And, like, a jersey, like, it's not, to me, a multifunctioning piece of attire. Is a specific, you only wear it for specific occasions, and how often is that? You only wear it for like a season, I guess, and then players change too much, so I don't want to get a player's name. So long story short, I never bought a jersey. But I think I talked about this on the show before. Someone had convinced my daughter, Sheffy Lease. Oh man, I got all the buttons wrong. Someone had convinced my daughter that she was a Giants fan.
Out of Pepe.
Here we go. That she was a Giants fan. And so in this vein of like, I don't give attention to the energy that I don't like. I just try to encourage what I do like. It's like, I'm not going to say anything negative about the Giants. I'm not going to tell her she can't be a Giants fan. But I am going to tell her who Dad is a fan of. And if you want to be on the same team as Dad, you can do that. And here you go. So I went out and bought her some gear, a hat, a shirt. And then I finally bought myself a jersey. so that she could see, you know, that that's my team. And, you know, you got the colors on, I got the colors on, you know, we can stand united. I got to raise her right. Couldn't let her be a Giants fan. And definitely can't let her be a Cowboy fan, even down here in Texas. So I finally did that. And I bought like a custom jersey. You got to say I'm not doing the player because players change teams too often these days. And now I'm a little pissed off that I spent that money, you know, money that I wouldn't normally have spent on sports attire. I finally did it to support this team and to get my daughter on support for this team. And now I got to do it again, you know, if I want to continue that. Because, you know, it's not a conversation you can have with a six-year-old that the Washington football team is now the Commanders. It's just got to be, look, this is Pop's team. Here's your shirt. Here's my shirt. Let's rock. So, I don't know. That irritates me. My other thing with Chef Elise for this week is I'm trying to figure out what to do for Valentine's Day. I'm a big believer in, like, you know, little girls as they grow up. You know, dad should be their first Valentine. And I got to keep these little crusty, you know, ass lips boys off my daughter. Like, even at six, you know, these boys is... I'm just saying, like, I don't judge me like, you know, there's a problem or something like that. Like, I've witnessed it. I've witnessed little boys being a little too aggressive at an early age. And I see where we are with our children right now. And I don't want that for my little girl. So they need to know that dad is here. Dad is around. And you can't compete with dad at six. You and your little juice box or your whatever little candy hearts you may give her. I'm coming in there with the big guns. You can't fuck with dad. And you're going to see how excited and happy she is for whatever it is she gets from me. And your little piece of shit you could have saved for a couple years from now. Because now is not the time, little boy. I really need to chill on like how angry I get at these little kids because, you know, I don't want no police problems, but I'm just saying, you know, keep your crusty ass lips to yourself. But yeah, I'm trying to figure out what to do for Chef Elise this year for Valentine's Day. I can't figure out if I want to just show up at school, you know, pick her up at school and, you know, we go on a daddy daughter date or something or, I'm not sure, you know, have something delivered to the house. I haven't quite figured it out, but dad got to do something for Valentine's Day. It's a big deal for me to make sure I do something for her and she knows that she's loved and that, you know, and that she's not looking for it from any of these little raggedy-ass kids out here. But anyway, I'm working on that. I'm also working on next week's episode. So there's your Chef Elise update. Let's go ahead and get that off the screen. I'm also working on next week's episode. I'm trying to do more with this video, and I told you, you know, I recorded some stuff with the homies, had them sit down, and that was like my first video venture that I'm still in the process of editing. But we had a great, you know, Valentine's Day conversation, and that's what I want to give you guys for next week. I think it's dope. It's hilarious. You'll never look at Care Bears the same way ever again, but that's in the works, so stay tuned. It's coming. But yeah, to get to this week, and I got to take a sip because I got anxiety about this. This is a personal episode. And I like the personal episode. I like, you know, who doesn't like talking about themselves? But I just like it when life brings me the content. Like, I'm over, you know, it's a struggle sometimes to figure out what to talk about from week to week. And luckily for me this week, life went ahead and took care of that for me. I've been, you know, getting out of my rut and getting back to being more social and involved and getting the show out. And, you know, good things happen when you put yourself in the position for them to happen. So what happened to me this week, I got a friend request on Facebook. And it was from a dude I went to middle school with. And so I accepted the friend request, and then shortly after that, you know, he sent me a message, you know, hit me on Facebook Messenger. And so I took a look at the message, and the message was basically like, hey, what's up? You know, basically he was saying like, I was the smartest kid in school back then. And just, you know, how's it going? How's life treating you? And immediately I was just like, fuck, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm good with where I am. And, you know, where my life is right now, but that's because I know what I've, you know, had to come back from and overcome to get here. And at Real Talk, I'm like on my fourth or fifth comeback. So yeah, it's a long story in terms of, you know, why I am where I am. And I think if you only knew me from back in middle school, you would have never predicted that things would have, you know, sort of went this way for me. And so it's like, as I was looking at this message, it took me like hours to respond to this message because I just didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to explain where I was, if I needed to explain where I was or whatever. Like, you know, it just, I don't know, the whole conversation about, you know, shit didn't go, you know, as well as I planned, but here we are kind of thing. But it got me to thinking, like, you know, from where I was in middle school, the person that I was socially, you know, the expectations, the way people saw me, some of the things I did and got a chance to do, like, those were some really dope years. And I'm not sure I ever reached that level again in life. Like, I possibly could have peaked in middle school. That's fucking depressing. So I just started thinking about it. And I don't know. I take you down to my thought journey, my thought process. I'm still not sure. I could have peaked in middle school. Middle school was a good time for me. And I just, like, in comparison, when I look at back then to now, like, back then, biggest difference between back then and now, probably not the biggest, but the one that stands out the most to me with Valentine's Day around the corner is I had a girlfriend back then. I had a girl back in middle school, and I had a girl who was interested in, like, having sex with me, like, which is a bigger deal. Like, I was, to me, that's like, I was that attractive to another human being that they wanted to, you know, to take that step with me. That's, you know, I don't know. I don't have those experiences much these days. And then back then, like, I clearly didn't know what the fuck I was doing in terms of, like, sex, you know. Not to say that I know what I'm doing now, but I don't know. It's crazy. I knew what sex was. I just didn't understand the logistics of it. Like, I was a kid. You know, I was a kid. Like, not these kids you see now. Like, I was a kid. Like, I understood. You know, my mom used to have crazy conversations with us. She used to tell my sister stuff like, me and my sister stuff like, anytime a penis is near a vagina, pregnancy can occur. So I understood the biological principles involved in the act. I just didn't know the logistics of how you, like, initiated that kind of contact. And so it was a lot of, like, awkward. It never happened. It was like 5-6 years after middle school that I lost my virginity. But there were, like, several awkward, I can't call them attempts. They was just, like, situations where it was supposed to happen or felt like it was heading in that direction. And it just, you know what I'm saying, it never curled all the way. We just never made that move, never crossed the threshold, you know what I'm saying? But man, like, funny story, I was so naive and such a kid in high school, and I'm gonna tag the dude that I'm about to talk about when I post this. But I remember a friend in my class, like a kid in my class, a kid my age, having to, like, explain to me. He had to coach me pretty much through my first kiss, right? And this is the most insane thing. You can't make this shit up. So basically, we went on, like, a double date in an alley. Like, it was me and him and then my girl and his girl. And we was just, like, in the alley, because where else was you going to do it? Like, all this was so premeditated. Like, there was understanding of what was about to take place. And this was where it was going to happen, in the most romantic setting you can imagine, an alleyway in D.C. and we went there, and so, like, you know, when we got to the alley, you know, it was clear I didn't know what I was doing. And so he had to, like, Pat Riley pull me to the side and, like, draw out the play. Like, this is how it's going to go down. This is what we about to do. So basically, if I could set the scene for you, is we had the two girls stand up against a fence in the alleyway. We stood like 5 or 6 feet in front of them. I can't tell you if we counted out loud or if it was just like a in the head kind of count. Like if he told me what the count was supposed to be, then it was like break, here we go. Or if we actually counted out loud, but it was pretty much like a count to 10. And then I just like walked into her, like walked up to her and just boom, there we go. And, and just to clarify, this was my first French kiss. Like, it was my first kiss, like, makeout session. Like, I walked up to her for a peck and then ran off giggling or something. Like, I was, you know, I wasn't that much of a baby, but I was a baby. But, it was weird though, cause, like, to be honest, that was my preferred method for initiating, like, that kind of contact with girls till maybe like the 11th grade. Like, I was probably still in the 9th or 10th grade, and it was still like, you got to go stand up against that thing. I'm about to take a couple paces back. We're going to make the eye contact. We understand what's about to happen. This has been scheduled. I guess I was big on consent before it was a thing, because it was like all of these sessions, it was clear. This is what is about to happen. You can bail out at any point between now and me getting there. You can bail out after, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there was a whole lead up to this thing. And so, like, yeah, so maybe the 11th grade, that's what it was. I had to walk into it. Didn't know no other way to initiate it. But that's what I was in the 7th or 8th grade. I was a kid, but it was a good time. You know, first kiss, I got lucky and went to a middle school where I guess like being smart was cool, or it felt like it was cool. So, you know, my social life was pretty good. I had a group of friends. I had a whole squad, you know, that I rolled with, mostly girls, but it was a cool time. I was really living like my little Zach Morris dream. I was a big, Saved by the Bell fan. I wanted to be Zach Morris so bad. And I felt like, you know, me and my little team, we ran the school, and, it was a good time, man. It was a good time. I used to wear these sweater that was like way too big for me. I had to like roll the sleeves up or whatever. Funny thing about the sweater, and I went back and forth on this like all week, whether or not I was going to do this or not. And I'm still like not sure I want to do it, but I'm going to do it. Let me show you this picture real quick. And I show you the picture because it's important for the story. But hold on. Here we go. Yeah. All right. So this was me circa 1993-94. Like I said, when I tell you I was a baby, I was a little kid, Fun. Black History Facts. This is Black History Month. It's crazy because it looks like I'm looking over here, but I'm looking at the picture. The man in that picture, that is Ronald Brown, who was the first black Secretary of Commerce for the United States, and also the first black chairman of the Democratic National Convention. And I got to meet him. I think we were in his office for that picture. He gave me that hat. And that's the kind of student I was back then. Like, so these are the expectations people had on where my life was going to go after middle school. Like, you know, I was that kind of, I was the kid you took, you know, to those events. Yeah. So me being homeless years later doesn't make sense. But anyway, he passed away not too long after that in a plane crash, I think. And they ended up renaming the middle school that I went to after. It was Ronald H. Brown Middle School. A couple of years after that, but that's me. That's me, and that's the sweater. And that lady behind me is my principal. She also passed away not too long ago, but she was, you know, very important person in my life. Love her, Miss Jones. Love her to death. I show you that to say this. So, this is how weird middle school was for me. So, like I said, this sweater, and I don't know if you can tell from that, it was too big for me and the sleeves were too long. So I have to like cuff them so that they didn't cover up my hands. If I let it be full length, it would just drape over my hands. And so one day she pulled me to the side to let me know that I needed to stop wearing the sweater. And her reasoning for why I needed to stop wearing the sweater is because it made people think I was covering up track marks. That, you know, me having this sweater on all the time. And I wore it all the time. Like there was no non-sweater time. Like, it was my emotional support sweater. But yeah, she said it looked like I was covering up track marks. And that's not the message that I wanted to be sending. And mind you, at the time, like, you seen the kid in the picture. Like, I don't know what track marks are. I'm not, you know, I'm very naive. You know, I could tell from the way she was talking that it wasn't something I wanted people to think that I had. It looked like maybe, you know, she was trying to hint towards something illegal. It was obviously something I wasn't supposed to be doing. And I wrote about this in the book because, you know, later on in life, when I look back at that moment, what I think was happening was that, because I don't think that she actually thought that people were looking at me, this round face, you know, skinny, short kid who was supposed to be super smart in a sweater and thinking, oh, that sweater is because when he goes home, he shoots up at night. Like, I don't think she thought that was the real story, or anybody thought that was the real story about the sweater. But what I think she was doing was she was trying to tell me I wasn't doing myself any favors socially wearing that sweater. And that if for some reason to her, it was easier to frighten me by telling me that people might mistake me for having a drug habit than to tell me, you know, that I was already enough of a geek and the sweater wasn't doing me any favors. So, you know, she was trying to tell me to scale it back. Don't make life hard for yourself. But what I heard was I look like a drug addict. Man, funny how things work out in the end. But these are the decisions as parents we have to make. I'm trying to figure out how to, like, rein in my daughter's confidence and her cockiness and keep her believing in herself and that she can do anything and that she's amazing. But don't make her so arrogant that she's a poor winner and a sore loser and people don't like her. I'm trying to figure it out. But the middle school years were good. Really good. Only, you know, it was a short time. It was only 2 years. I got there as it was transitioning from a junior high to a middle. So if you don't know, junior high was like 6, 7, 8 or something like that. Junior high was like 6, 7, 8. And then I guess middle school is, junior high was 7, 8, 9. And middle school was 6, 7, 8. So when I got there as a 7th grader, so in the middle. And then, you know, or I got there and I went from a freshman to a senior in 1 year in terms of middle school. I was in the 7th grade, which was at the bottom. And the next year I was at the 8th grade when we got rid of the 9th grades. And I was at the top. So it was 2 good years, 2 good years. Shouts to all the Roper Rockets out there. That was a good time. But the point of me telling y'all this is that this is the way I get to look at my story. I think I've told you a lot of parts of my story, which is going back to, you know, junior high, and I'm fessing up to this picture right here. But this is owning your story. He and I continued to have a conversation over Facebook Messenger. I guess, you know, he saw that I had the podcast, so he had questions about that and what made me start doing it. And I told him, you know, the podcast has turned into like a personal journey sort of thing where I talk about my issues with mental health and my struggles with addiction and fatherhood and, you know, whatever. It's just an honest place. It's a place for me to be honest and have these kind of conversations. And he asked me what, like, prompted me to do that, to open myself up that way. And I've said this before, and to be perfectly honest, it's not any sort of like a virtuous thing. This is a purely selfish act. Like, this is self-preservation. My problem was, you know, shame and guilt and stuff like that. And you know, if I was the kind of person that I used to be, I would have never responded to his message. And that would have just weighed on me forever. And until I did something to try to get rid of that guilt, I didn't respond. You know, somebody being friendly, reaching out to me, but I'm so ashamed of who I am. I can't talk to him. And now I'm ashamed of, you know, not talking to him. And the shit just piles up on itself. And it drove me to do some of the, you know, most horrific things I've ever done in life. But, you know, these days, I try to talk about as much as I possibly can. I try to be probably way too open. But because if I can talk about it, if I can laugh about it, if I can, you know, I take that weight away from it. I take that shame and guilt away. And I have to come to terms with the fact that whoever I am today and anything positive you have to say about me today is only possible because of all of that stuff. And so whoever you are, whatever you're doing, it's a sum of all of that. It's not possible without all of it. And even if you don't like who you are today, I understand that who you are today changes the world every day. Every moment, every breath you take, you not only have the opportunity, but you are, whether you're conscious of it or not, changing the world. And that person that's making those changes in the world wouldn't be possible without everything that's happened to you before. So own it, you know, enjoy it, laugh at it, don't regret it. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what the point of this show is for me, the personal point behind it. And hopefully, maybe it means something to somebody else down the line. But that's about it. That's all I got. that was my show for today. Hope you enjoyed my new upscale production value. Real quick, to wrap everything up, let's go back to our glitter attack. So again, the headline is women's glitter attack ends with felony charges. So the question is, can you guess the ethnicity? Took place in Florida. It's two women went to a man's apartment around 3 a.m. and started throwing glitter at him. One eventually jumped the fence, went into the apartment, and they threw more glitter. Police tracked them down, threw the glitter in the car. So there you have it. Women's alleged glitter attack ends with felony charges. I'll give you a minute to gather your thoughts, come to a final answer. I'm not going to give you a full minute. But, you know, man. What was my last? I think I forgot to do one of these. Oh, former first soprano. Yeah, that was, I guess that's another good thing that happened in middle school. My voice changed. I was literally a first soprano in the choir in like the seventh grade, maybe even the eighth grade too. By the time I left middle school, I was somewhere around this tone that you're hearing now. But that's why middle school was so dope. So anyway, all right, hope you got your final answers. Let's get to it. Here you go. All right, this is Caitlin O'Donovan and Sarah Franks, 27 and 29 respectively, from Florida. These the young ladies that did the glitter attack. I would love to like understand how you plan that ahead of time, because it obviously was planned ahead of time. You don't have that much glitter on you if you're not knowing. Like, do they need to start tracking people who go to stores and buy a shit ton of glitter? Like, either you need to buy one large bag of glitter. If you're buying several containers of glitter, shouldn't that be like just as suspicious as somebody buying weapons or something like that? I don't know. We got to think about these kind of things. But here you go. Sarah Franks, Caitlin Donovan. Let's see if your racial bias was correct or not. But that is guess the ethnicity. Anyway, that is my show for this evening. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it spoke to her, or you at least laughed a little bit. I don't know. As usual, gotta shout out my people. LiveAlphaFitness.com. My homie Zaya Fitness can be your nutrition and your fitness guru. He can get you where you need to be in terms of your health and your body. Dope dude. I know right now he's working on getting ready for a bodybuilding competition. He's got a birthday coming up. He's going to get me to go to a vegan restaurant. I'm going to do it because that's my homie. I love him that much. But if you are looking for ways to, you know, get exposed to veganism or just get your nutrition right in general or get your body together, holler at my man Zaya Fitness, livealphafitness.com, LIV alphafitness.com. He'll get you where you need to be. I don't know if you can tell. I got the Ford Algorithm hoodie on. It is hoodie season, but summer of the algorithm is right around the corner. You can do them both at the same time with the Ford Algorithm hoodie. You can get that at whatistws.com/store. Coupon code hoodie season, HOODIESCN, all one word. We get you 20% off your order. Go check it out. Get yourself geared up. New gear coming all the time. But with that, yeah, this has been cool. I'm trying to increase these production values and get you more interesting stuff. But yeah, bear with me. Run with me on this journey. Next week, we're going to have the conversation about Valentine's Day, and you're going to figure out something very disturbing about Care Bears. But until we speak again, be safe, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, I love you. Holla.